As we prepare to hear God's word to us this evening, let us turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. By the light of your Holy Spirit, O God, open our hearts, that we may hear your word and amend our lives. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Our scripture lesson this evening comes to us from the book of the prophet Isaiah. I'll be reading from chapter 58, verses 1 through 10. I invite you to listen for God's word to you this evening. Shout out and do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So as I launch into a few sermon words this evening, I want you to first pass the baskets that you'll find on the center aisle of your pew, in which you will find pieces of what we're calling sackcloth. Please pass them down the aisle so that everyone has a piece. If there aren't enough to go down your row, check out the baskets in other pews. We should have plenty, but we'd like each person in the sanctuary to have a piece of cloth. You're going to need those baskets again at the end of the sermon time, but for now they can just sit in a spot at the end of the pew. So in Old Testament times, when people wanted to signify that they were sad or sorry, they literally put on sackcloth and ashes. We've given you a scrap of fabric this evening to represent sackcloth. Hold it now and notice its coarse and scratchy texture. In Old Testament times, fabric like this was made from the hair of a camel or a goat and was used for grain bags and garments. If you were in mourning, you would wear this clothing on the outside that matches your emotions on the inside, a visible sign of your condition. So this little scrap of sackcloth will be yours to take home after worship today and use in this Lenten season. Its purpose is to call your attention to minding the gap. What gap, you ask? The gap that Isaiah warned about, between religious observances that reflect our desire and devotion for God on the one hand, and how we live with others in this world that God so loves on the other. The gap between our external practices of faith and the inward condition of our minds and hearts. Isaiah talked about how people would fast, demonstrating their devotion to God and showing their desire to seek God's presence and to know and walk in God's ways. Yet, they would oppress others. They would quarrel and fight, even to the point of violence. And not only that, they would fast as an expression of love for God while neglecting the needs of the poor, the hungry, and those oppressed by others. They would ignore the things that restore justice. It is as if the practices of their faith and the appearance of devotion to God serve as a cloak or a cover for lives that are actually quite curved in upon themselves. So would it ever be true for you or for me that in our intentions to live in a right relationship with God, there is a gap? A gap between how we express our desire for an ever deeper, ever richer, ever more loving relationship with God and how we live with others in this world. If we are honest, I imagine each of us could admit that we are familiar with this gap. So this evening, I've been wondering if this little piece of cloth could spark a regular practice during Lent. Here's where we get to play with the cloth. I'd like everybody to hold your cloth in a vertical direction and go to about the midpoint of one of the ends and see if you can get a hold of just one of the little threads that's poking out at the end on the long end of your cloth. And pull that thread. You might have to scrunch up the fabric while you pull, but pull it until it comes all the way out so that it leaves a space among the other threads. I want this thread that you've just pulled out to signify those practices of personal piety that deepen your life in God, your worship and prayer, your immersion in the scriptures and song that keep you connected to God's way, your attention to God's love in the presence of God in the midst of the busy and bustle that fill the day, the gratitude that shapes and opens your heart to others around you. Now, I want you to work on this horizontal side of your cloth at this point, about a third of the way down. And once again, see if you can catch a hold of one of the little threads coming out the side and pull on it until you can pull that thread all the way through. Notice the gap that the absence of this thread has created. Let this thread and this gap signify what you do to reflect the love of Jesus for those who struggle and suffer. Your actions of compassion, your expressions of generosity, your service to others, the giving of your time and money that feed the hungry, care for the poor, contribute to a more just world. Tonight, I'm wondering if this Lenten season could be a time for minding the gap. What if you were to make a weekly practice, once a week, maybe next Wednesday, to pull another thread out of the vertical dimension of your cloth while you reflect on your life in God that week? How have you engaged in habits or rituals or routines that deepen your devotion to God? And then what if you would also pull out a thread on the horizontal dimension of your cloth and reflect on how you have cared for the physical, earthly needs of people, especially those in tight places whose lives may be at risk, as surely Jesus paid attention. If this were to become a Lenten practice over the course of these 6 weeks of Lent, we may begin to discover where our life in Christ is out of kilter, off balance by attention to one dimension or the other. Minding the gap, we might become more intentional about restoring the balance. And then the contours of the cross, barely visible in our cloth this evening, would slowly and surely be revealed. Which is, of course, the point of these 40 days. To follow Jesus in the way of self-giving, community-forming love that found its most profound expression in the cross. Tonight, along with this scrap of sackcloth, we'll also receive ashes, a sign of our mortality. Ashes are the residue of death. Someday our lives will end, so there's no time like now to follow the way of Jesus, who in his life, death, and resurrection minds the gap that our sin creates. Like the juxtaposition of the cross and heart on the screen, this is Ash Wednesday and Valentine's Day, and the ashes will also serve as a sign of our repentance. In the assurance of God's love and forgiveness, we find both comfort and courage to turn and return on the path Jesus laid before us, that in following him, our sin may be forgiven, our hope may be restored, and the gap in us may be healed. Tonight, as we begin again in our journey with Jesus, let us lean on these strong words of promise that continue in our passage from Isaiah. Listen. The Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. Minding the gap, may it be so for us these 40 days. Thanks be to God. Amen.